Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Chapel out here at Grace Ranch in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, oh most high. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, oh most high.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower, a righteous throne. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into it, they are saved.
Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord, oh most high. To the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord, oh most high.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into it, they are saved. The name of the Lord. Strong tower, righteous run into it, they are saved.
Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord, oh most high. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Strong tower, righteous run into it, they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, righteous run into it, they are saved.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Praise you, Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for this day and for this opportunity to come together in your name and be strengthened by you, Lord, for the work you have for us to go forward and do. And may you move mightily in this service to the accomplishment of that end and thy will in each of our lives. In Jesus' name,
amen.
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 Thank you.
tongue will confess thee, my God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Salvation that cannot be moved, proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like us. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. There is no rock, there is no God like us. There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. Rock of salvation that cannot be moved. He's proven himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like us. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages. Jesus is the rock of ages. Jesus is the rock of ages. earth, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you.
Good morning, everybody.
So the scripture has been in my mind a lot. Brother Davey has said, and it's just to reiterate. It's something he said before. How's that? It reminds me of Sammy where he goes, rabbit, 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 bunny, you know. Anyway. Jesus says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And he doesn't say it one time. He says it over. And he says it, and his apostles say it. Because you can see it over in 1 John. The problem people have is they think they are obeying God. You see, they think they are, but they're not. See, God's commandment comes to us, and for whatever reason, for whatever purpose, we seem to run it through our own filter and change it. We tweak it. We modify it. Make it better, right? It's like the $6 million man. It's better when we're done with it. And that's just not true, is it? Because if we don't obey his commandment and we change it and do our thing and we've run it through our filter, the filter of our intellect, whatever methods we run it through and we modify it, then we're basically saying, God, thanks for the, you know, we may not even say thanks. We just change it because we think we know better. And to do that and then move forward in, you know, executing your amended, adjusted, modified, quote-unquote, whatever, you haven't obeyed God. You've disobeyed God. You've obeyed yourself. You have allowed yourself and your own mind and your own intellect to remain the priority of your heart. And you've actually forsaken God. And all the time you think you're doing right. Now, how scary is that? How scary is it to think you're doing right? To think you're on the right path? To think you're really, and then to find out, well, hopefully you find out before it's too late, right? But we see scriptures where people think they're doing God's thing. They think they're doing what God wants them to do. And they get to the end and they get to see God and he says what? Depart from me, I never knew you. Now how terrifying is that? That terrifies me. Does it terrify you? See, God has given us things to prevent that. Amen? Doesn't he show us in his word that those that want to do right, they're going to go to the light. They're going to go to that authority in the Lord. They're going to go to his word. They're going to go and they're going to allow themselves to be analyzed, to be exposed, to be essentially flayed open and all the nastiness to just be there so that it can get dealt with. Doesn't he say that? It's over in John 3. They come to the light. What if you don't go to the light? What does that say to you about yourself? What if you don't want the light? What if you'd rather hide? What if you'd rather keep all that stuff in? You don't want to expose. Don't want people to see. Don't want people to know just exactly what's there. Then you're like the world. You're exactly like the world because it says the world will flee from the light. It will fly away from it. It will get away from it because it doesn't want to know its deeds are evil. It doesn't want to know that. It doesn't want to know that information at all. Doesn't want it. Which one are you? Are you open to the light? Do you seek the light? Do you go after the light? Or do you hide? Which is it? Me, at times, I want to find a rock, baby. I want to find a hole, dig it, stay in it, put the rock over me. But that's not right, is it? Because I know that path is the path straight to hell. That is the path away from God. That is the path of separation, disconnection. That is not operating in the grace of God. That is living back in the law. And where does that take you? Does that take you to hell? Yes, it does. See, the only thing that prevents you from wanting to come to the light, to be exposed, to have those things flayed open, is pride. And we see what pride does and did. We see what it did to Lucifer, didn't we? It was pride. There's a story that's been floating around in my head is the one of Saul. You see, Saul was anointed to be king, handpicked by God, prayed over, prophesied over. Seemed to have everything in order, right? But he had this problem. You see, he feared people. He feared what people were going to think of him. That was his weakness. Even though God gave him a new heart, he still had this weakness of he cared more about what people thought of him than of what God thought of him. Do you know that that is most of y'all's Achilles heel? It's mine too. Caring more about what other people think than what God thinks. Did anyone else hang on the tree for you? Anybody else take the stripes for you? Anybody else let them nail the nails through his hands, through his feet? No. But the one guy who loved you enough while you were yet a sinner, while you were at your worst, while you were unredeemable, did it for you because he loved you? Before you loved him, he loved you? Doesn't that guy deserve our loyalty over anything else? Amen, he does. Amen, he does. That guy Think of it next time you're cowering or afraid. Think of the guy who actually put his life in your place and took the stripes, took the embarrassment. Could there be anything more embarrassing than the hanging buck naked on a stick in front of the entire world, might as well say, being mocked, being beaten? Could there be anything more horrendous? And yet, for whatever reason, we allow the spirit of fear and cowardice to thwart our loyalty away from the God who loved us enough to die for us to somebody that doesn't even matter in the sense of your salvation. When I put it for myself, when I put it in those terms, it cuts me right here, man. And that's what I have to do for myself. I have to remember Jesus and what he did. And then whatever it is, it becomes teeny tiny. Teeny tiny. So Saul was given a commandment of the Lord. Do you guys remember? This is 1 Samuel 15. Saul was given a commandment. See, there was this king that had treated Israel poorly, and their sin had come to fruition. And God was now going to bring judgment, and Saul was going to be the instrument of that judgment. And he tells Saul, this king did this, that, and the other. I want you to go, and I want you to kill everything. Kill the king, kill men, kill women, kill children, kill the animals. Wipe everything out. Wipe them from the face of the earth. Now, that's a pretty clear commandment, amen? Any room for reassessment of goals there? Maybe a secondary or third goal? No, it's just wipe them all out. Was there any room? Was there any room? No. No room. So, stuff happens. Let's see here. Verse 10. We'll just jump ahead. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Camel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Really? Now, how many know the rest of the story? Had he performed the commandment of the Lord? No, and he even knew he had it. He knew he hadn't done it. He knew he hadn't done it. This verse, look at this next verse, verse 14. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? See, what was the commandment? Kill everything. But Saul's got an excuse, buddy. He's already got one lined up. He has got one in his pocket. I wonder how many of y'all, when you know you haven't done what you're supposed to do, already have the excuse lined up. It's just sitting there in reserve, man. There it is. Got it, right here. There's my get out of the I'm in trouble card. But it doesn't work, does it? Excuse me. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Okay. So, excuse number one. the people. Hey, man, I can only do so much, right? Is that going to fly? And then he tries to color it with, well, we're going to use this to sacrifice to the Lord. Excuse number two. Does that work? If you know the rest of the story, you know it doesn't work, does it? And Samuel said, where are we here? Sorry. 16. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast a little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on the journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Did he do what God said? Had he somehow convinced himself that he was being obedient? Maybe. But he wasn't, was he? What happened to Saul? What happened? I don't know what happened. I don't know what he was going through. I know what happens when I do it. I know what happens when I do this. And I bet you know what happens when you do it. You start thinking. You start thinking of maybe this is a better way. What's wrong with just doing what we're told? What's wrong with that? Why isn't that good enough? You know, it's like the grace of God. That's good enough, right? The blood of Christ, that's good enough, right? Why do we want to add to it? If we wouldn't add to that, why do we add and change the other things of God? But Saul, somehow in himself, either he's just bold-faced lying, or he had somehow convinced himself that he was being obedient. But he wasn't. And this isn't the first time. This isn't like, okay, we got it. All right, so let me see if we can tweak this for you because you got this one wrong. No, this was a pattern with Saul. This wasn't the first time this happened. And the reason for him doing it, we're going to come up here to it in a second. The reason for him doing it was the pattern. Verse 21, but the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And in the New Testament, which was really no different than the Old Testament, what are the commandments of God? Love God, love one another. Love God, love one another. The reason Saul did this was that he feared the people. He feared the people over fearing God. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned and have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because what? I feared the people and obeyed their voice. See, he already knew what he had done. He knew it. And again, this wasn't the first time. This was a chronic thing with Saul. It's a chronic thing. And God had had enough of it. He wasn't going to permit it again. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto him, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I might worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death has passed. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. This was the last straw for the Lord's grace on Saul. It's because Saul never seemed to lock in to that first commandment. Never seemed to get it. Never seemed to get it. There is no space. There's no, how can I put it? You know, the phrase is, you know, my way or the highway. You know, it's God's way is the only way. Jesus is the way, and his way is the only way. There is no other way around it. You can't process his word through your mind and your intellect, change it, manipulate it, make it suit yourself, do your own thing, and think that you are on the right path. Can't work. Not going to happen ever. Doesn't work that way. And to do so, to walk in rebellion, is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness, as iniquity and idolatry. Do those things enter into the kingdom of heaven? No, they don't. They don't. And there's no gray area. It just doesn't work. Doesn't work. The beauty of coming to the realization that you have done like Saul has done, or I have done like Saul has done, is that in today, the grace that we live under, we can go fall on our knees before God and ask repentance. You know what he says? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So maybe you have been just this. Maybe this is you. I don't know. That's between you and God. But it doesn't have to stay you. Amen? Doesn't have to stay this way. Doesn't have to. It can change as quickly as you're willing to humble yourself. Submit, therefore, to God. It's just an act of your choice, your will, to get on your knees before the Lord and repent. And God's grace is right there, and it is sufficient. It's big enough. Corey, it's big enough, right? I mean, you're a guy who knows how God's grace is good enough. You know, I'm no different than you. God's grace is big enough for even me, for even Steve, for Cheryl. And everyone else, God's grace is big enough. And his love is there. I go back just briefly, and then I'll quit. He died for you. Okay? What bigger expression of love do you need? What more do you need? Jesus died for you. While you were yet a sinner, he died for you. I don't need any more. Thank you, Jesus. I'll accept that. Thank you, Lord. I'll take it. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for my rebellion, my sin, my iniquity, my stubbornness, for so many years of knowing better and still doing wrong. Forgive me, please, Lord. And I thank you for Brother Steve and Brother Davey and the other people in my life that are my authorities in the Lord, that help point me in the right direction and are not afraid of what I might think about them or anything else, to tell me the truth of where I'm really at. And I got to tell you, sometimes I don't like it. Never do I like it, if I'm honest. Never, never do I like it. But I would much rather be in heaven with my loved ones. Brother Paul, he's waiting. Brother Warren, he's waiting. I bet you have people you'd like to see that knew the Lord. Charlie, your dad. Thank you, Jesus, for a way to be free. Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to read verse 1 over there from the chapter that Rick was reading in Samuel. And 2, just because there's a key point here that I think will hopefully help you. Verse 1 of 1 Samuel 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he did wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Now, the fundamental point I wanted to hit on there is God did not speak to Samuel. Another man did. I mean, God did not speak to Saul. Another man did. Samuel. See, and therein lies almost the entire problem for everyone. See, people convince themselves that they're serving God. Frankly, I believe Saul had convinced himself he had done the commandment of the Lord. It wasn't until Samuel came to him after God had said to Samuel that it repented him because Saul didn't keep his commandment. Now, wait a second here. Who are you going to believe if you're Samuel? Are you going to believe God? Or are you going to believe Saul? Yeah. Now, Samuel, when he came to Saul, already knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, and there was nothing that Saul could say to change the truth. He had not obeyed the commandment of the Lord. Now, see what happens. We are talking, was talking about over in John chapter 3, and it's like, you know, everybody knows John 3:16, and let's just go over there for a moment. We'll go over to John 3:16, since, you know, you watch TV and everything, and at every basketball game, football game, whatever, there's somebody with a sign held up, John 3:16, as though that answers every question. And the fact of the matter is, in one sense, it does, in the sense that it highlights what Jesus did for us. So in that sense, it's true. But sadly, it seems like almost no one in the Christian church goes and reads the next part. So let's begin with 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I just want to highlight that for a moment. Everybody who's here knows and is reading the King James Bible. For those who may listen to this from somewhere else and listen to this message, my guess is your Bible reads differently if you're not reading the King James. What you're reading is a false Christ. Jesus is the Word of God. He is not a schizophrenic, and he says what he means and means what he says. And when he said that you should not perish, he was saying what he meant. But he said that does not mean that you will not perish. And see, therein lies the problem. Many, 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 the majority of those who call upon the name of the Lord, say they are Christians, will perish. They will perish. Go read Matthew chapter 7. And we may even head over there, but I'm trying to be short because I guess payback is, you know what they say. And so Rick took up most of the time this morning. Not something I've never done myself, so what can I say? But let's continue on in verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, the fact of the matter is the world is born in condemnation. See, everybody wants to think, let's just be brothers, let's just be this. And they don't realize that we cannot be brothers. We cannot love one another. We cannot enjoy peace with one another, but we first make peace with God. And that comes from receiving the sacrifice that God sent for us, Jesus. And he goes on, he that believeth on him is not condemned. And that believeth on is going to be a critical word here, because one that believeth on keeps his commandments. They hear what he says, they do not change it, and they do what he says. How many people do that? Not many. That's why the majority who say that Jesus is the Christ will perish, is because they don't believe on him. They don't hear what he says and do what he says. Rather, they change it in some way, manner, shape, or form. And there aren't many ministers out there who will speak to them the truth so that they can know this before it's too late. Frankly, Saul was rejected from being king. It didn't mean that Saul had to die and go to hell. Saul could have humbled himself. He could have humbled himself. Instead of trying to kill David, he could have submitted himself unto David and recognized that David was indeed God's man. But no, he wouldn't do that. He would not humble himself to do that. And so he did die and go to hell. So let's continue on. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness. Watch that. Men loved, that means preferred, darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, we were just talking, Rick was talking about people hiding. And it happens in the ministry all the time. All the time. I mean, all the time. Many of you don't know this because you're not having to be the one who has to minister to people who are hiding. You're not the one who has to give account to God, and so you may not see it. But I've seen it for decades. It is one of the greatest sadnesses of being a minister is to watch those who you know the Lord has good things for, and he would have you share things with them that are for their good, and watch them do everything in their power to avoid receiving that which God has for them through you. And then when you do begin to say something to them, come up with every excuse imaginable to justify themselves. There are few that I have met in the Lord over the course of my 25 years who actually want to come to the light that their deeds may be made manifest one way or the other. Very few. And so your conversation with such people is hard. It's hard, and it's infrequent, truth be told, because they don't want to actually know the truth, because they prefer the lie they believe and to dwell in darkness. Now look, folks. I'm going to be pulling something together here in the not too distant future about discipleship. I've really been struggling and working and writing it out, frankly, because I realize how important and critical it is. I mean, absolutely critical it is to the end of destruction not being yours. Because discipleship is your safety. It is your safety. Samuel speaking to Saul was a safety to Saul if he could receive it. But Saul fought against it. Every single one of us have to deal with the same issue in getting rid of pride. It's not something that's unique to you. It's something every human being on the face of this earth that's ever walked since the fall of Adam, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has had to deal with. Because it comes with being cursed. It's nothing to be ashamed of in the sense as though it's somehow peculiar to you. We all have to deal with it, every single one of us. If you want to deal with it, though, you will come to the light. And you come to the light through the process of discipleship is the manner in which it's most manifest here on earth. Don't hear me wrong. It really begins in your closet between yourself and the Lord Jesus Christ. It gets manifest through your discipleship relationship with a minister of God. Because it comes in the form of your willingness to submit things up and make them open and public that they can be judged. See, one of the things is, I hear people sometimes say, you know, we live in, like out here at the ranch, we live in like a glass house. The truth is, if you're going to be a minister of the Lord, you are to be a glass house. There is to be nothing hidden in your life because you are to be an example of the believers unto people. You are to actually be an example. How can you be an example if your life is hid? You can't. You can only be an example to believers when nothing is off limits nor hid. But you are out there in the light that your works may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That's what the next verse says. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Watch that. And that basically means you prefer not. You want to keep private. You want people to not know. You want all this other kind of stuff. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Do you want your deeds to be wrought in God? Or do you want to be a worker of iniquity? One who operates in pride and hides and tries to defend and protect themselves. It's that clear is the choice. There's no middle ground here, folks. It's one way or the other. If you want to walk in the Lord, then you need to come to the light. You need to be willing to stand out there and be exposed. And let the issues you've got, if they're there, be dealt with so that you can become that example that God wants you to be unto the believers. As you're willing to do that, as you'll humble yourself to do that, not only will the Lord lift you up and bless you, but you'll be a part of his ministering unto others, and you will see wherever you are, the ministry the Lord has given you grow. I mean, I got to tell you, one of the most amazing things to me, because my nature and my background and my life was one of, you know, being on some grand stage, if you want to look at my life before I became a Christian. It was always being the one on the podium. It was always being the one who was exalted. It was always being the one out there. It was always going to be the one who'd be like president or this or that or the other thing. And I remember, you know, being in Northfield Falls, Vermont, where there, I don't know if it's still true, depending on how successful the hunters have been, more deer than people. Out at Grace Ranch, definitely more wild things than people. And being in scenarios that were anything but what my background and experience leading up to the Lord was about. And I was amazed in Northfield Falls how the Lord paraded people from all over the world through my front doorstep and put me in contact with people from all over the world. You don't have to run around. If you will decide to serve the Lord and come to the light, he will include you in what he's doing in manners that I don't care where you are and how isolated you may think you are. He will get people to you because there are people out there needing to be ministered to. So let us go forward in that. Let's get shed of standing in the shadows and come in to the light. Amen.
Amen.
your beautiful.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we thank you for this day and for your word being brought forth, Lord. And we I pray, Lord, that those who have heard this word today, that they will take heed to it. That people won't let the day pass, Lord, from stopping and repenting before you and coming to the light, Lord. That they may obtain grace, Lord, and forgiveness, and be transformed by your power and your love into those bright and shining lights as ministers of yours that you've called them to be. And I pray, Lord, that you would move mightily on the hearts of the hearers to do just that and bless them as they seek you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.